The emphasis in Siddh is on developing the understanding, samaj. Propositions are made before the students and they are asked to reflect upon it. This stems from an understanding that understanding or meaning is already inherent in the self, and education can only attempt to invoke it. We make a sharp distinction between words and meaning. Students are requested to focus on getting the meaning and not get stuck with the words. We propose to the students that we listen to the words through the ears, a part of the body, but it is the eye that understands or comprehends the meaning. Human beings interact with the outside world through their bodies by both receiving and sending out messages from and to the outside world. The body receives through the sensory organs. The message is then transmitted to the eye. The eye then makes sense out of it and decides what is to be done. Based on the understanding and decision of the eye, the body then interacts with the outside world. We try to understand the human being, which comprises of two separate entities which coexist, the self, the I, one who is trying to understand, and the body. This distinction between the I and the body is important. The emphasis is laid on understanding the two by making a distinction between the functions and needs or requirements of the two entities. The difference between the need of the I and body are highlighted. The requirement of the body are not constant. Its needs are at regular intervals, not constantly, such as food. And there is always a limit to the bodily needs. There is a point of saturation at a particular point of time. Also, the need of the body are tangible in nature. We call these by the word suvidha, facilities, comforts or conveniences. While the need of the self or the I are entirely different, the requirement of the self are intangible in nature, the requirement of the self are constantly there, and the self never has enough. For instance, the self craves for happiness, fulfillment, satisfaction, feeling good, respect, trust, endlessly and constantly. These requirements are given the name sukh, happiness. So the requirement of the body is for suvidha, while that of the self is for sukh. One can now see that in contemporary education system, the focus is entirely in satisfying the bodily needs. There is no study of the self, which is so essential in achieving the goals of education. The irony is that understanding or samaj takes place only in the self. The phenomena of understanding is the outcome of interaction between the self and the observed, what is being understood. Both have a role to play in understanding. Hence, without understanding the I or the self, one can neither understand the world nor determine the aim and direction of one's life. Because the present system does not acknowledge the existence of and hence the need of the I as separate from the needs of the body, it makes no attempt in that direction. Once this is comprehended, then it is easy to see that to be fulfilled, we need to work with understanding at both the levels of satiating our bodily needs and the needs of the self, separately, by making a distinction between the two and consciously working at the two levels. In absence of conscious recognition of the self and understanding about the specific nature of its requirements, one tends to satiate the constant demand of the self under mistaken notions of finding fulfillment in satiating bodily demands, which are actually limited. It confuses the self with the body and confounds it further by equating the two separate requirements of the self and the body, sukh with suvidha. After this, it is only natural to conclude that the needs for conveniences or comforts for the body are unending and unlimited. All teaching learning material are then prepared based on this false understanding, which completely misleads entire generations of students. As a result, we have educated people who have no faith in themselves, we do not contribute to the society, and who are incapable to fulfill their basic needs on their own. We can take the example from present day economics. The economist propounds that the needs of human beings are endless, but the resources are limited. If we stretch this further, we can only conclude that every human being is condemned to perpetually live in a state of deprivation. Once this is accepted by the mind, then it is inevitable that every educated person will always live with a deep-seated feeling of insecurity and deprivation. This naturally leads to exploitation or corruption. Yet it is in the human design to crave for happiness and with a feeling of security. Live with a feeling of security. Every thought, action, and behavior emanates from this desire. The aim of education should ideally be understanding of and ability to live happily with a sense of security. Education can only be defined in terms of its larger goal. The present education is able to provide and exchange a huge amount of information which enables certain individuals to acquire and consume a large amount of comforts and conveniences. New discoveries and inventions are also made through this exchange of information. But when it comes to one's own life, we find that despite this glut of information, discoveries and inventions, one still remains unfulfilled. Starting from not being able to understand the self, one is unable to understand relationships, is unable to do anything to lead a secure life and be self-reliant for one's bodily needs, nor enrich the nature around. In a holistic manner, education has three dimensions: samadhan, resolution, social responsibility, and self-reliance. Samadhan means an understanding of the vastavikta, the reality. It can be further explained as understanding of the self, the needs of the self, understanding of the mutual complementarity in relationship with the individuals within the family and within society and with the rest of nature. When one talks of living according to this understanding, then it manifests in social responsibility and self-reliance. Social responsibility essentially means that there is nyaya, sense of mutual justice between people living together. Nyaya is achieved when there is a feeling of fulfillment or happiness between individuals. To fulfill the needs of the bodily requirement, it is essential to produce, manage and properly utilize the essentials. To achieve this objective, one has to learn many skills in which science, technology and other parts play a role. Management is the art of determining the proper utilization of all essential items. Along with management, it is important to learn the skills of keeping accounts, preservation and exchange of resources. This is how we have designed our program, and we are slowly producing modules which will impart this understanding. So the effort in SIDH is that we try and work at the level of samaj. And we finally, I would say that we have defined education in another way. There are two aspects. One is where you first understand and then do. The other element is where you learn while doing. So we make this distinction, and we have both these components in our schools. We learn by doing, which is under which comes all kinds of skills like even writing and reading and producing certain things. And in samajh ke karna, that means first understand and do this, all that I have presented here, that part of it comes there. Our emphasis is on this part. The second part is secondary, really. And it is still in an experimental stage. We have not perfected. We are trying to buy a large piece of land now where we will do some serious agricultural activity. And we hope to be self-sufficient in terms of our requirements of food, at least, if not clothing. Maybe in the next 3 years, we'll be able to move in that direction. We have already taken some steps in that direction. Thank you.